1390 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Former President Trump continuing comments for which he's being attacked, warning NATO members over the weekend that if he's elected and they don't pay bills, he says they owe the alliance if Russia attacked them.
No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills.
But NATO members don't pay dues or owe money on bills. They have targets of spending 2% of their federal budgets on defense. That's the issue. And with or without it, the members are bound by a treaty to protect each other. Houston police say the woman who opened fire in Joel Osteen's mega church yesterday was a lone wolf and did not have explosives with her. Her off-duty cop shot and killed her. The shooting is believed to have resulted from a dispute, police sources said. The six people shot on a New York City subway platform in the Bronx today got into an argument that escalated, police say. One of those shot has died. It was a largely positive day on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers may pass Governor Evers' bill to redraw Wisconsin's legislative district boundaries before wrapping up their work for the spring. Evers tells WISN-TV's Upfront that if they do, he would sign it.
I have great doubts that that could happen. But if my maps are approved by the legislature, of course I'd sign them.
Observers say Evers' map is better for Republicans than any version that may come out of the state Supreme Court. Meanwhile, a leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Bocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Two legislators from western Wisconsin are promoting a bill that would allow the DNR to set PFAS contamination standards in the state. Representative Jill Billings and Senator Brad Paff said their bill would give the DNR authority to set groundwater safety standards. State law requires any administrative rule that would cost $10 million or more to get a full vote in the state legislature to move forward. The bill's authors said Wisconsin has drinking water standards, but not groundwater standards. Two single-vehicle weekend crashes in Vernon County left one person hospitalized. The first crash happened Friday night in the town of Greenwood, where a family of four hit a deer on County Road EE. No one was hurt in the crash. The second crash happened just past midnight on Saturday, where a 21-year-old Richland Center man missed a curve and went off of the road near Hillsboro. The sheriff's office said that the man was taken to the hospital in Hillsboro with minor injuries. The National Weather Service says we'll be mostly dry this week, except for a chance of rain and snow Wednesday night, highs in the upper 30s to mid-40s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime to become only the second team in over 20 years to win back-to-back NFL championships. Patrick Mahomes named the game's most valuable player, and what made the difference for Kansas City?
The attitude of the team, it's special, and I'm proud of the guys, man. I mean, we battled through and through all the way through the playoffs into the Super Bowl, and just like our whole season, it came down to the last play.
Tight end Travis Kelce caught on video shoving and yelling at Coach Andy Reid before halftime when the team was struggling.
You know, he bumps into me, I get after him, and we understand that. He loves to play the game. He wants to help his team win. It's not a selfish thing.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan on losing again to the Chiefs in a Super Bowl.
I mean, I heard the most for the players. Those are the guys. I mean, it's such a, can't tell you guys how long it takes to get here. Our guys I heard for the most.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. From Super Bowl 58, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs upper 30s. Mostly cloudy in mid-40s Wednesday. A rain or snow shower possible in the late afternoon and evening. Then Thursday, clearing back out, cooler, high-low 30s. Currently 40 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy. People are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
There are a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers?
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Providing you with an eagle-eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Now it's Monday, educated educators talking education. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789. Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl for all of you football people out there. Johnny Lupinacci, did you win money or did you lose money?
Oh, Tim, I can't disclose that on this, but, you know, I lost money earlier in the season on my team, but I mean, I think I gained it all back. I had an early bet on the Chiefs. Like you maybe have mentioned in previous shows, it's hard to not roll the dice with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And so, you know, while I'm not a big fan, I think they did pretty good for me last night. So,
yeah, well, good. So you knew where you should be and who you should support. Yeah. Watching the game, 2 minutes, you know, to go like that, you give Mahomes the ball and that's it. He will find a way to win. Which
I mean,
why.
It was exciting though. I mean, there were a lot of ways to lose it too. So
yeah,
I was
a lot of ways
to go to overtime. And I'm still trying to figure out how we don't have Monday as a holiday yet in this country.
the Monday after Super Bowl?
Oh, God. I remember teaching in the classroom. I mean, I popped into a couple of classrooms today and saw, you know, kids pretty tired, teachers pretty, pretty tired. And it's like, come on, can't we just have this be one of those Mondays?
Well, you know, well, it's like the Monday after Thanksgiving in Pennsylvania for the longest time, which is deer hunting season. You know, nobody would come to school anyway. They finally did make that a holiday, though, believe it or not, in more states. So if you can have the opening day of deer season off, Johnny, I agree with you. I think we should have the day after the Super Bowl off. It just makes sense. Oh, here we are. Busted Pencils, though. Again, 844-967-2789. Monday exciting night, if you're just jumping in, though, and going, wait a minute, Busted Pencils tonight, 6 o'clock? Really? How did that happen? Hey, we've been telling you for the last 2 weeks, it is Busted Pencils Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And now, from now on, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
6 p.m. Central every evening. Adjust your clock if you're Eastern, if you're Mountain, if you're Pacific. Figure it out. 6 o'clock, though, Central Time, every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is our new spot on Civic Media, and this is really exciting. It's been exciting that we've gone to 5 days a week, and now we're in our new time slot following the Devil's Advocates. Really, Johnny, we are situated in a nice spot.
Right. Well, now, you know, we don't have to wait an entire week because we always have such exciting guests and really awesome stuff to talk about with our listeners and our callers. So without any more to do, Tim, why don't we introduce our guests?
I've got to introduce our guests. I mean, so I'll just go right with, you know, she's a Las Vegas native, mother to 2 adult children, aunt to 21 nieces and nephews, firm mom to 2 dogs and 3 cats. She's a newcomer to the political arena. She came in first of 9 candidates for school board trustee or school board member during the 2018 primary elections and defeated the establishment candidate in the general election. During her 4 years as a school board member, she witnessed the questionable spending of over $20 billion. She had a front row seat to the complex power plays. In November of 2022, she launched her podcast, Unraveling Education, to expose covert operations happening within the Clark County School District and empower the community to fight back. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Danielle Ford. How are you, Danielle?
Thank you. Thank you. That was quite an introduction. I am so happy to be here. I've been following you guys for a while. And when you reached out to be a guest, I was like, yes, when?
Well, when you said yes, we were like, yes, she said yes. This is one of those, you know. Okay, so Danielle, a little bit, be just a background biography. So you're no longer a school board member. You're doing the podcast, Unraveling Education, and we'll talk about that. But what brings you, a mom, into the arena to even want to be a school board member? I mean, what's happening in Las Vegas? Give us a little bit of the origin story. What makes you wake up one day and say, I'm getting involved?
Well, I was involved with my kids and my kids' school. So, you know, I went to CCSD schools my entire life, and I ended up leaving early, graduating with my GED a year early. So technically drop out. And, you know, I felt like the system failed me as a student in many ways. When my kids, you know, got into CCSD, I was in, on the PTO, leading Cub Scouts. I was, you know, asking about the budget, started a snack shack, you know, so many things. Like, for instance, I wanted to, you know, maybe go to Whole Foods or partner with, you know, home kitchens and give healthy options. And it was like, no, we can't do that because, you know, an apple is too many grams of sugar, but these sour gummy worms of this many is okay. And then it's like, well, who chooses the contracts? How does this happen? And then I learned, oh, it's the school board that makes those decisions. So I was like, oh, when does that happen? Okay, I'll go sign up. And it was pretty impulsive, actually. I was like, I think I can do this. And I ended up, it was the biggest race at that time of all school board seats with 10 people in the race. And so most people thought I didn't have a chance and kind of ignored me until I came in first in the primary election.
So that part first, oh my God, there's a whole other, you just brought up something, the school lunches, the politics of school lunches there, an apple and sugar gummy. I know, man, there are so many things there. But so Danielle, in a sense, you're a mom, you're involved in the school, and these questions pop up as you just see them there. And so this idea, you're like, how do I get involved? Well, you go right to it though. You're like, well, I'm doing the PTO, I'm doing the Cub Scouts. Let's just get on the school board and become a school trustee.
Something I did not know. So when I entered the race, I have no education background. I didn't have any political experience other than just like being interested in it in theory, conceptually. Wasn't involved in any political groups. I'm true nonpartisan. I don't like either party. I learned during my election that they do not want newcomers. It's like you're offending the status quo, the good guys and the bad guys, or whatever your opinions are. Everybody has these groups that are already like have it figured out who's going to be in the next seat. And they have been prepping people, and they've been looking for the last couple of years of who might run. And you basically, like, what you should do is join some committees and get some appointed positions and join some caucuses and like start asking around, would I have support from all the political groups if I were to run? I had no idea. I didn't get any endorsements. You know what I had? Voters support. That's nice. All you need.
Right. Democracy in action, man. Tim, this is my favorite story to hear is, you know, we talk about it all the time. Education is a matter for all members of our community. And in a democracy, that's one of the beautiful things about the way things are run is that your voice not only matters, but it counts. And voters know that. And that's the important thing about education is we have a stake in it. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, thank you for throwing your hat in there and digging in and, you know, and being part of that process. It's a huge thing.
Thank you. Hey,
look at that. Steven from Green Bay, you're on the phone with Busted Pencil. Steven, what's happening? You're on with our guest, Danielle Ford. Hey, Steven.
First of all, I'd like to say I think it's wonderful that you're on at 6, because when we were on at 7, I could not listen to you. I was getting ready to go to bed, but now I can listen to you on a daily basis, so that is a good
love
thing.
Love it. Love it, man. Thank you. Thank you.
With that being said, anytime I hear a woman running for anything, whether it's school board, president, city council, whatever it is, I have to, you know, tip my hat to them, because we definitely need more women in politics. I know school board technically isn't politics as usual, but it still is politics running for school board. And, yeah, you know, it's important who is on those, in those seats making decisions for your children, what they can learn, what they can't learn, what the curriculum is. I was actually in high school. I left the brick and mortar school and I went to a virtual school, and it made me appreciate the brick and mortar model so much more going to a virtual school, because all the things I took for granted, like a teacher being there to help me, was no longer there. And I just think school, the brick and mortar sense of going to a building and having someone there to interact with, is so very important for kids to have. And so, you know, the stuff going on right now where people are trying to get rid of that and take funding away from that, when they say that, they are taking money not from us, but they're taking money from our children's futures, and that cannot happen.
No, Stephen, thank you. Really appreciate it. Danielle, I mean, tell us what you, with Stephen there in the call, all those things that you learned, and is he striking something that you're like, oh my God, Stephen, if you only knew?
You know, I absolutely agree with Stephen. In fact, it's not necessarily about students. Even everyone's like, it's about the kids. Of course, we love kids. We want to take care of kids, of course. But it's about the future. It's about future adults. It's about society. And so when people are trying to take tax dollars away for their kids right now because they want their kids to have whatever, that's not what the public money is for. It's to build a society of humans, of adults that are going to be productive and happy and, you know, make the future better. So I think he's spot on. And that's a really big conversation, and something to, you know, help people understand, is that it's about society as a whole and not just about every individual student.
I'd say the one thing, though, too, Stephen, and again, really appreciate your call, and I'm glad that we moved to 6 so that you don't have to go to bed before, you know,
that's
you can listen to us.
To,
I don't know if you're going to be able to go to sleep, though. Yeah, how's he going to be able to sleep after Busted Pencils, though? Now, we're going to be causing his insomnia. But at this point, though, looking at, you know, being politics, I would say that entering into school board races anywhere now across America is your first step into politics. In fact, we would,
it's,
you know,
an effective step, Tim. I want to like put it out there that it's such an effective way to get involved in one of the most important investments we can all make in democracy, in this civic process. It's our schools. I just want to put that out there. And I give Stephen a lot of props. Thanks for calling, Stephen. But thanks for echoing and amplifying how important it is, not only when people run for politics, but especially when we have women and their voices represented strong in the most important, I throw it on all the time, school board's the most important politics we have locally, and that trickles all the way up.
You know, so though, I'm just going to say really quick, I kind of disagree. It was an all-female board, and I was like, we could use some men on here.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, though? Think of that, though. Danielle, wait, we're going to have to talk about that when we come back from the break. All-female board. Wait a minute. Okay. Stephen, though, thank you for the call. Our guest from the Unraveling Education Podcast, Danielle Ford. More when we get back. We will not
witness this anymore. Eagle 1490 AM.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular or known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
That's why you came back there. Came back for
That's kind
more.
Of a cool reason to like watch, to like see the behind the scenes and whatnot.
Exactly, exactly. Like, so behind we're just the talking scenes. About...
It's what we were talking about. So if you're busting pencils right now on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, YouTube, yes, you are looking at, you know, the faces of Busted Pencils and our great guest, Danielle Ford from the Unraveling podcast. She was a school board member, school board trustee, as they say in Las Vegas. One of the top vote getter in 2018. And Stephen called in and gave big kudos because being a woman and jumping into politics, and Johnny was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Danielle, right before the break, though, you were like, well, I got to disagree a little bit. So what about the dynamics of the school board you were on then? Give us a little bit about that.
It was an, without getting too much in the backstory, because it is drama, but it was an all-female board and a male superintendent who I just did not get along with right out of the gates. And there was so many times, honestly, the entire 4 years, I was labeled like catty and dramatic. And so many times I was like, if I was a man saying exactly what I just said, very straightforwardly pointing out what this dude is doing and exactly how he, you know, is swindling taxpayers or whatever it is, they'd be like, wow, okay, this is a leader. This is a very well-researched man. But because I'm a female, it's like, oh, she has it out for him. Oh, she just doesn't like him. I'm like, no, I literally just gave you facts and you're all choosing to just follow your biases or whatever your opinion is about me. It doesn't matter. So I ran into a lot of that kind of stuff. And there were so many times I was like, if there was a dude on this board, I would just work through him. I would like puppeteer him and I would be like, here's what I need you to say. And then they'll listen to you. Like even the women too, like the women on the board responded well to the superintendent and any men that came in and told us what to do. Strange.
Man.
Johnny, I'm looking at you. Yeah, that's fascinating, right?
Leadership, and not only in politics, but you know, all of us teachers listening to this, we've had that similar experience in schools, especially in elementary ed, where there are less male presence in there. And then we tend to fast track them to principal or constantly go down and be like, can you handle this behavior problem? Or can you talk to this person about this? It's like we do gender in such a way that it, like Danielle reminds us, it's not always just enough or the right thing to have all women in one space, right? While there's, I will argue there's likely to be better ideas, but that's my bias for the women in this world. But that said, it doesn't make things perfect. There's still a lot of work to do. And the ways that we gender, especially give power to voice, can be a huge problem. So both those things got to be worked on at the same time.
It's kind of like you always want to aim for the diversity of your population. So it's like 51% women, 49% men. So really a split board would be actual like representative of the community.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle, so Las Vegas, Clark County, you said, this is, you know, for anybody, this is a huge school district. I think I was reading here, fifth largest district in the country.
When I joined, there was 320,000 students. When I left, there was 300 students because that's how many the superintendent ran out to charter schools. But it's another story.
That's huge. So you're making, back to Stephen, to potentially recognize Stephen's in Green Bay, Wisconsin, they're usually doing more of the school districts dealing with localities. And so the idea of moving into a different state, Nevada, is where you're doing counties like that. And I see that across the country, you know, some places they do the little township. And so you have a high school, an elementary school, and a middle school. And that's the quote school district. And then But what you're talking about there too, that's an incredible amount of responsibility to think that you were going to be, and I'll just say it, as a school board member, a school board trustee, you have all of those children's and the community members' future. You're making decisions for them.
It's absolutely crippling. It was, when I left the board, honestly, I was just like, felt so defeated. And also it was during COVID. So that's a whole other layer of chaos and things. But to see somebody who I, you know, believe to not have the best intentions for staff or students or the district or the community, and to just not be able to do anything about it except for, you know, sound the alarms as much as I could. It was honestly just so soul crushing.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to call, jump in, give us a call. Danielle Ford, she is the host of her own podcast, Unraveling Education. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're still talking about her adventures school boarding. And Johnny, I had an adventure in school boarding, and that didn't work out so well, because I told Danielle about this when we were doing the pre-interview. A school district I went, you know, we had an opening. And I said, well, I can do it. You know, I've been a second grade teacher, a fifth grade teacher. I've worked with, you know, all these. And I went and put my name in the hat because this was a special election. And I got told before the election that I wasn't going to get the vote because, well, you know, I'm a liberal atheist socialist who was out to the only reason I wanted to get on the board was to do away with the Christmas play. So
that's what they told you.
Yes.
That's what you get for being the local curmudgeon, Tim. I mean, it is really political, and it's more than an adventure too. I want to highlight it's a civic duty, and it's a way of, I mean, we always talk about in democracy how important it is to vote, but beyond that, we all have a voice too. And so getting involved in local politics, getting involved in things like school board, it's part of our civic duty. It's, you know, LA Tom calls all the time and reminds us, you know, we are government for the people, by the people. And so when people take on that responsibility and take a big chunk of their time and their energy to help make something like our schools better, right? It's really important work to recognize as, you know, civic engagement. Tim, sorry, it didn't work out for you, but also just that process, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's so important to engage and to be, you know, a litmus for what is the political landscape of our school board races? What are the things that determine these positions? And how do those maybe even exaggerated stereotypes of your politics, Tim, that don't really, I know you pretty well, you know, and I know that you're not out to end the Christmas play.
But I like Christmas.
Also a big advocate for, you know, like Danielle talked about, like diversity in our schools, and that maybe there is more than Christmas than that our young people and families are also celebrating right around that time of year. And so I think you would be an excellent, you know, voice to remind us of there's a lot happening in our schools and diversity is really important. That probably got spun into Tim's, you know, an atheist socialist trying to, you know, convert all these kids to Marxism.
Well, my biggest problem was that I was, you know, I was a college professor, which is a guarantee that all of those other things are true. I mean, because it's a well-known fact. Danielle, though, I mean, we're going to be keeping you here because we want to talk about the podcast. We want to talk very specifically, too, about one of the episodes of the podcast about the history of school boards. Because, you know, what we're trying to do here every night now is we're educating everybody who's listening in the idea of school boards and that first entry. And hey, guess what? We're on civic media. It's the civic duty to do this type of work. Mm-hmm. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. More with Danielle Ford when we get back.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service confirms last week's storm in south-central Wisconsin produced two tornadoes. One was an EF1 in Greene County, and the other was an EF2 tornado that touched down near Evansville. They were the first-ever tornadoes in Wisconsin in February. Postal workers want better pay and bigger staffs to reduce turnover. Gary Davis of the American Postal Workers Union says small rural post offices are hit the hardest.
These offices are understaffed due to the fact of not enough housing in those areas. The wages are not high enough.
In November, Postmaster General Louis DeJoy said the agency is trying to cut labor costs. The Postal Service lost $6.5 billion last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
1490 The Eagle, La Crosse. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Two single-vehicle weekend crashes in Vernon County left one person hospitalized. The first crash happened Friday night in the town of Greenwood, where a family of four hit a deer on County Road EE. No one was hurt in the crash. The second crash happened just past midnight on Saturday, where a 21-year-old Richland Center man missed a curve and went off of the road near Hillsboro. The sheriff's office said that the man was taken to the hospital in Hillsboro with minor injuries. Two legislators from western Wisconsin are promoting a bill that would allow the DNR to set PFAS contamination standards in the state. Representative Jill Billings and Senator Brad Paff said their bill would give the DNR authority to set groundwater safety standards. State law requires any administrative rule that would cost $10 million or more to get a full vote in the state legislature to move forward. The bill's authors said Wisconsin has drinking water standards, but not groundwater standards. The National Weather Service says we'll be mostly dry this week, except for a chance of rain and snow Wednesday night, highs in the upper 30s to mid-40s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Super Bowl's gain is Hollywood's loss. Yahoo Entertainment reports the box office numbers for Super Bowl weekend are as low as they've been in decades. Combined ticket sales took in $40 million, the lowest it's been since the mid-1980s. The combination of the Super Bowl and Hollywood actors and writers strikes, which brought Hollywood production to a halt for months, are to blame. While there was a big celebrity wedding following the Super Bowl, but it had nothing to do with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Super Bowl halftime show headliner Usher reportedly tied the knot with his girlfriend, Jennifer Goykowicz, following his performance at the big game. Performing at the Super Bowl halftime show in front of billions and then getting married in Vegas? Not sure how you top that nutty night on the Strip. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs upper 30s. Mostly cloudy in mid-40s Wednesday. A rain or snow shower possible in the late afternoon and evening. Then Thursday, clearing back out, cooler, high-low 30s. Currently, it's 37.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The talk that matters to you and fits your lifestyle.
Tune out all the yelling and screaming.
Come soaring with Eagle 1490.
That's what we do. We pull you through the undertow. 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, our guest from the Unraveling Education podcast, Danielle Ford. She was school board member, Clark County, Las Vegas, fifth biggest school district in the country. $3 billion budget, she told us during the break. My goodness, that's massive. But Danielle, when you first came on the show, though, you made a comment about, you know, GED, school, you know, school didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. How does then, if school doesn't work for you, is that potentially part of the motivation to run school for school board?
That was definitely a part of why I ran. But I learned a lot along the way. You know, like one of the things is I was undiagnosed ADHD. I got diagnosed when I was 30. And then that was like a whole process. But, you know, there's 11% of our students who are struggling with their executive function. And why aren't we, you know, making classrooms that are going to support divergent learners, you know? So a lot of these was kind of like common sense things that I wanted to go in and ask questions about and find answers to. And then I found a bunch of other questions. I actually, like, within the first year, I realized none of this stuff is going to get done. Doesn't matter how much logic I bring to it or what the community wants, because the people in charge are going to keep things status quo and they're going to keep doing what they have been told to do by the people that have their ear. So, you know, that's what the Unraveling Education is about. So I started researching it very deeply and I learned that. So it's kind of twofold. I learned that a lot of these things are happening in districts nationwide, especially the large districts with large budgets. And I learned that Clark County isn't really on anyone's radar. So I'm like, I'm going to put it out there and hopefully let these, you know, other researchers and people that are paying attention to this and could maybe help, you know, find out what's going on. And also the community itself is going, what's going on with schools? So I want to tell all the details. You know, it was actually better when I was in school. I feel actually really not guilty or bad or whatever. And it's unfortunate that my kids grew up in the standardized testing era. I didn't. Mm-hmm. All the things that I was complaining about, it's like, I kind of would bring that all back.
Bring that, exactly. My kids too. I mean, big opt-out movement. So, well, then let's get to it though. So now, Unraveling Education, the podcast, and talking about school boards. Check it out. We'll give you it before you go here. We'll let you pitch all the places people can find it. But the episodes we're dealing with here, I mean, you do a deep dive. It's history of school boards and why they're under attack. And you did a huge deep dive into the history of school boards all the way back, as far back in people, you know, I mean, you kind of even made this, you know, back to Columbus. Well, maybe a little bit of fast forward, but school boards. So tell us everything. I mean, how long have school boards been around in America?
So the original school board, as we would know it, to like some sort of group of people that were making decisions, was like in the mid 1600s. And the reason that that actually happened was, so it was the town officials that as colonies expanded were like, okay, we need someone to do this and make decisions for these schools. I guess it could be us. So they named themselves the selectmen. And then it kept growing and growing. And it was really the religious colonials who, they passed a law that was any town in Massachusetts that had 100 families attending a school would have to make like a school board. And the act that they called it was the Old Deluder Satan Act, because it was Satan that was trying to stop the boys, or who attended school, the boys, from learning scriptures and being able to sign their names. So because that happened, it was mandated that school boards existed. And then now that law is known as the Massachusetts Law of 1967. It was renamed later. But then, you know, school boards were governing in all these different ways. So they were doing, you know, sometimes they put a business in charge of the town, or sometimes they would have the church, you know, handle the town. But the biggest controversy was that they could pick and choose students, and that it was mostly being taught religion in these schools, but yet taking public funds. So then it was for about 100 years that happened, until around the American Revolution. They didn't put anything about school boards in the Constitution, even though they wanted to, but they just were arguing about it. They didn't know how to, you know, make decisions around that. And then it was eventually Thomas Jefferson who said, hey guys, we shouldn't make rules around what kids should learn. You know, that should be up to the community. But what we should make rules about is who is going to oversee what they learn. So we should say that there's going to be school boards and they are made up of community members and that they're elected and that they are guards of town funds. So that was when school boards originated. And then it was another, 100 years or so before any type of cohesive model through the state. So it was actually to protect from the state because Thomas Jefferson knew that with the changing political ideologies that the kids would be susceptible to that.
Yeah. Not like we're not seeing that right now, but I mean, and so it's a long history, but Johnny, what I hear though, too, it is a history of democracy when you put that out there. I mean, this concept of saying that the community has a responsibility to take on the care and the welfare of, at that time, making sure boys could read the Bible. But the roots are democracy there. And so, going up and all the way now. So when you ran for school board, I mean, you were participating in a 400 plus year experiment in democracy. So again, hats off, Danielle, to the fact that you were living and breathing, truly the American values of democracy, self-government, and jumping in and saying, I'm going to take responsibility for this. Johnny, I see you're nodding away there, man.
Well, sure. Just a little ground level definition of democracy is, decisions being made by those impacted by the decision. Mm. And so when we think about that historical argument or conversation around how do we decide what is taught and learned in our communities, and that has responsibility to the greater whole as well, but also very locally important to the conversation. So, school boards having a rich history of being a place where decisions are being made by those directly impacted by the decision. What are the things that we value and really emphasize ought to be learned in our communities? And that said, our communities are connected to a larger whole or a common good or a greater being in a sense of where that fits into our states and our country. But that rich history is really important. And it's certainly messy. Democracy is not easy, right? And this whole idea of having these conversations and being generative about those debates, those conversations is really important. And it's certainly not easy because we've really blurred local and beyond and voice and power and how much money is influenced in that, how much corporate interest is a part of that conversation, and who really benefits and suffers sometimes falls to the back end of it. So I love hearing about these instances where people who have a passion, have experience, and want to be generative and contribute to that conversation, get in there and do it. And so, Daniel, thank you for that. And then, whoa, man, holy smokes. Like we just glossed over it, but you gave us a snapshot of the deep dive into the history of school boards, but tell us more about the podcast and how you got into doing that, because it's a huge resource out there for folks who want to know more about this. I mean, Danielle's got really great content that takes us deep into these topics in an everyday way. And so tell us a little bit more about the Education Unravel.
Unraveling Education. So thank you. It took me a long time to figure out how I was going to do the podcast, actually. And I basically announced it one day. I was yelling at the school board after I lost my election in 2022. That's the whole, you'll hear about it in the podcast. But I was, they selected somebody and funded her to replace me. It was a whole thing. But I was yelling at the school board about someone they were hiring. And I just kind of was like, and you'll hear about it in my podcast. And so then I'm like, okay. Then the news reported on it. And I was like, I guess I'm doing a podcast. but it took a few months for me to figure out how I wanted to do it, because I was thinking you can't just blast all the information out. And I didn't want to just kind of put content out or what I wanted to say. I was like, how did I learn this? I learned it from going through it myself. So let me take other people through it exactly how I did. So I'm telling the story from all the way back to when I didn't know anything, and then all the characters and how I researched things and how I started putting things together. And it has a really good turnout. I actually got funded. I I launched first, like asking for sponsors to help support the initial launch and to buy equipment and things like that. And it's like 50 teachers, you know, funded it. And there's a big desire and appetite to know the truth, because everybody knows that the district is corrupt and there's just so much shady stuff going on that they're like, we want to help. We want to elect the right people, but we need to know how to tell if these are the right people. And we need to know, you know, should we support, which trustees we should support, and how can we make our voices heard? So, you know, I'm basically like, I'm not telling you what to think, but I'm telling you what I thought and what I learned. And I'm just putting it out there and you can form your own opinions, and just hoping that by the end of, you know, me getting through the story, people are prepared to take the district back this next election cycle when 4 of the 7 trustee seats are up this year.
So there's the name then, Unraveling Education, because you put it out
pulling
there.
Pulling all the threads.
Storytelling. From the unravelingeducation.com website, quote, we'll be investigating the underlying issues harming our public education system and identifying key players involved. Okay, so Daniel, I got to ask the question. Any pushback?
Not really, actually. I know it's coming because I started naming.
Because you're identifying the key players. Yeah. You're unraveling this mess.
I mean, I got sent like at least 10 cease and desist letters while I was on the board, and I just threw them in the garbage. So it'd be the same exact people that would be doing something now. And I'm like, what are you going to do? Like, give it your best shot.
I mean, that's fascinating. Cease and desist on doing your democratic, you know, civic duty. I'm on the school board. It's my job, my responsibility to speak truth.
Are you ready? Let me just tell you this right now. I'll just give you one little spoiler. Okay. This is coming down the, like, couple years down the line in the storytelling, but the superintendent at one point after we fired him and then he was rehired, it's this whole thing. He said, I'm not going to come back unless all 7 trustees, including Danielle Ford, sign this note agreeing to not speak to the media and not say anything negative about the school district or me. I'm like, so you're asking me to give up my First Amendment right? Yeah. She said, yes. Then I said, no. I said, I'm getting an attorney. And the trustees voted me out of that closed meeting. They said, should we kick Danielle out of this meeting? And they kicked me out of the meeting. That's how crazy it is and how the trustees have signed their power away. They've given complete control to the superintendent, who's funded by big business. And the community is just like, what is happening? Someone tell me. So I'm like, I'll spill the tea.
But on that, I mean, somebody listening right now might go, "Well, that's, I'm not getting involved then. That's a disaster. That's a mess." But I think I would turn that around and say what Danielle's pointing out is hopefully not a call to then therefore not get involved, but to realize that there is, something there. Whoa, Joanne calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Joanne, how are you?
Oh, great show. I'm wondering whether or not having a student on a school board would be a good idea. There's just that realization of what's at stake when you look at somebody in a meeting who's actually got skin in the game physically and all of that. And I'm just wondering, does any school board that you know of have a student? We have a student on our Board of Regents at the University of Wisconsin, and that was where I got the idea.
Nice. Thank you, Joanne. Danielle, what do you think?
So I actually think that there should be, I would say, non-voting members at first to not mess up all the political stuff, but there should be a teacher, a support staff, an admin, and a student who are on the board as non-voting members at least to be part of the conversation. Maybe even you have to change a law, it'd have to be a bill, it'd have to be like a whole thing to, you know, actually change the makeup of the school board. But yes, I believe those student voices are extremely important. We do have a student committee, but it's kind of like ran by the superintendent and kind of just steamrolled through. I absolutely think that students should be at the focus, the center of everything that we're doing, and to get their experiences to make decisions.
Well, she is Danielle Ford, the podcast Unraveling Education, unravelingeducation.com. Yes, Danielle, here's what we say. Thanks for busting pencils.
You're welcome. I will keep busting them.
Yes. Nice. Hey, and like always, Johnny and Tim, we'll break it down when we get back. Busted Pencils, back in a break.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Matt Mayer on air.
The Don Alba Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
I want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of LaCrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, blue collar scholars. More to come on that, though. You know, just kind of put that out there, you know, pinch people with a little bit. Are you a blue collar scholar? Because if you are, Johnny and I are looking for you. The number 844-967-2789. Johnny just had a great guest, Danielle Ford from Las Vegas, fifth biggest school district in the country. She served. She was a school board member. She now has her podcast, Unraveling Education. We had a great call, though, right before the break. Joanne wanted to talk about whether there should be student representatives on the school board. Johnny, you have some knowledge on that front.
I mean, I don't have the exact quotes here, and we'll look it up to follow up with it later this week as you tune in, you know, to the weekly show. But here's one of the big things is, yes, Joanne. I know in the state of Washington, and I know some other districts, I know in Portland schools, that student representatives on the school board is a thing, as well as it's nationally advocated for, that there are some student, sometimes called scholar representatives or, you know, youth voice involvement, but it is increasingly part of the process to include students, very similar to, and Joanne brought it up, you know, a student representative on the Board of Regents for higher education listeners out there and folks, you know, who are more familiar with that college sort of structure of things. It does exist. It's growing. It's been found to have great value. And of course, makes sense, right? Like I see our producer, Anya, who oftentimes we throw on the spot and say, hey, from the voice of the youth and from educators out there, you know, and she's usually like, yeah, it's not rocket science, guys. You're spending a lot of time around young people. Maybe young people should be part of the conversation.
Anya, give us what do you think? Students on the school board?
Yeah, we got to get students on the school board. I was sitting here thinking about how when I lived in Wausau and I was a high schooler, we weren't invited to be on the school board, but a group of students, two kind of from each high school, were actually invited to be the people, I can't think of the right word right now, but we moderated the Wausau, one of the mayoral debates that year. And I routinely look back on that experience that gave me such deep insight into the workings of the city, how the people who were running my city were behind closed doors. I have some crazy stories about that. And I think about the school board, if nothing else, a school board is kind of like the government of a school. I got this experience as a student to work in our actual government. Why wouldn't our students, and not just one student from one background, not just one student from one neighborhood, but a couple students and a couple teachers to really get the breadth of opinion out there? I think that's not a no-brainer, but a must be done, certainly. Yeah.
Must be
done. I love it. Yeah. Especially if we build on that definition, Tim, that I threw out there earlier, the definition of democracy at a ground level is decisions being made by those being impacted by the decision. So if we're talking about schools and we're not involving young people, it's like we're completely missing, which us grown folks tend to do all too often.
Well, now is it? Yeah. I mean, first of all, talk about if the decisions are impacting those, then they should have a say. Boy, school has for the longest time been largely not about those who have the most kind of effect, impact, you know, this decision making. Is part of it, though, potentially now, though, because you say Board of Regents, higher education, colleges, is this still, though, the idea of going, hey, we can't really have a seventh grader having a say? They're not an 18-year-old voting adult. How can they have a political vote in a decision making when they themselves don't have the ability to vote, or we don't even recognize them? I wonder.
Well, Tim, it opens up a big question, right? And it really is for listeners out there to think about, and for us especially, as you know, folks working in the system, do we truly believe that young people have a voice and that their voice matters? If we do, then it, like Anya said, it's not a great suggestion. It's a we ought to be, and why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
You know, so it really comes down to, like, how do we value or understand young people as citizens in our community, and that arbitrary, you know, age of 18, right? Mm-hmm. Being rather arbitrary when we break it down, especially when we talk about that idea of schools historically not being very democratic and not being very centered around children's rights. Sort of plug our show for Wednesday. We have Educators Amplified that come on with us, and they come with that position that every child's voice matters and ought to be valued, as well as, you know, their right not only to learning, but to being in an environment with, you know, regulated adults. I don't mean adults that have a lot of rules. I mean adults that see them, right? See them as children, as human beings with voices that are valued. They can speak truth to the experiences they're having, and that we as educators can be responsive to that. Right. They're not manipulated in, like, they're not little bits of coding we can put in an algorithm. You know, they're living, breathing, sentient beings with rights and values. And so I think there's tiers of how they're involved. Right. We don't just dump a bunch of responsibility. Like, hey, young person, you know, the new budget is due by 5 p.m. tomorrow. I mean, those are responsibilities that we delegate out to people who have those skills. But certainly speaking to their experience and offering suggestions around things is paramount to the democratic process, especially if we value children's rights.
Well, and talk about, you know, kids, let's ask them, you know, how's school going? How's this working out? How's this new curriculum that we bought? What do you guys think? I mean, my good, you know, God forbid we would ever do something like that.
Well, and our guest Danielle brought up tonight, and I want to echo it. You know, I always talk about it with teachers. There are different kinds of teachers out there. And when you come to become a teacher, or you have that realization, hey, I want to be an educator, it's often something that you've been thinking about for a really long time. So there are a lot of people for who school worked awesome for that tend to gravitate towards becoming a teacher. There are also a large number of people for whom school didn't work great for, who say, you know what, we could do better. And there are kids who are like me, or maybe they're different than me, but they're not benefiting in the way school is. And I'd like to do this differently. And so that's a really great perspective and position to be coming to education from. So big props to Danielle, you know, who shared her pushout story, you know, of school not quite working the way it was for her, but then bouncing back and really having a strong voice in it.
Especially Danielle Ford was our guest. Her podcast, Unraveling Education.
Check it out.
And again, hey, if you're thinking that there, you're like, if you're a student listening, go ask your school. When are you going to be asked what you think? Because that's the other thing. We want to encourage students that are listening to Busted Pencils. You do have a voice, and what you do out in schools does matter. And we should be hearing more and more of it. Tomorrow, Busted Pencils, got some trending education news. See you tomorrow night.
On air, 1490 AM. Online, lacrosseeagle.com. And on the Civic Media app, this is Eagle 1490.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt Nair On Air, the incomparable Luke Mathers joins us at 10:30 to kick around all things political in Wisconsin. Make sure you join us.
Matt Nair
on Air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.